Well, after protests by angry irrigators this week in Canberra, Australia's top water cop, Mick Keelty, has been given 4 months to investigate water sharing in the Murray-Darling Basin. The current agreement has been in place since the 1970s, when New South Wales and Victoria agreed to supply extra water to South Australia, mainly to fight salinity and evaporation losses. And that means that 1,850 gigalitres of water flows down the Murray every year towards South Australia, much to the ire of many of those farmers in the Southern Basin. Mick Keelty is the Interim Inspector General of Murray-Darling Basin Water Resources, and I've been talking to him.
Good morning, Hamish.
There does still seem to be a degree of confusion about exactly what you've been asked to do by the Federal Water Minister. What are you going to investigate exactly?
Well, what we'll do is conduct an inquiry into the changing distribution of inflows to the Southern Basin on state shares, the impact of those on state shares under the Murray-Darling Basin Agreement, and also consider any consequential impacts on the state shares resulting from the reserves required under the agreement. So in plain speak, whilst there's been a lot of attention focused on the Murray-Darling Basin plan, what the federal minister, David Littleproud, was able to broker this week, and to his great credit, he is one of the only ones that I saw sit down and reason with the people who took the time to come to Canberra to demonstrate. And without jumping to a conclusion, I think what's happening now is the inquiry will actually properly define what the problem is. Is the problem the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and the operations of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, or is this something deeper than that? And were the plans that you just referred to, Hamish, developed at a period of time where inflows, particularly from the Northern Basin, were actually happening? But, you know, of course, for the last 2 years, they haven't been happening. There's nothing in the Northern Basin coming through and feeding into the system.
So essentially you're going to consider, as I understand it, whether this comes down to the interstate agreements, the idea that New South Wales and Victoria need to allow water to flush down into South Australia. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct, but it won't be the only thing that will be looked at. I mean, I listened carefully yesterday to the interview you had with Barnaby Joyce, and as Barnaby Joyce points out, the Commonwealth holds, through the taxpayers, the Australian taxpayers, hold a quantity of water as well that's held back for the environment. So there are complex numbers of agreements and complex numbers of policies that are in place that are controlling water availability. And you can absolutely understand the anguish of some of the stakeholders who, for 2 years in a row now, I've had no allocations of water.
I want to ask you about those southern irrigators, folks like Chris Brooks. People will have seen and heard him. He was amongst those that came in the convoy to Canberra. I mean, they have been furious about the arrangements, and particularly furious with David Littleproud, it must be said. But now, following this meeting, I understand it went for something like 5 hours. You were there. Everything seems to have come up rosy. What's happened? What's changed?
Well, a lot's happened. Look, I'm absolutely independent in all of this, but I have to say that both Chris Brooks and David Littleproud showed exceedingly good leadership in, rather than argue and fight I guess carry on in a destructive way, they actually sat down around a table and constructively put together this plan to actually run an inquiry that will properly define the problem. And whilst I know some other people, particularly some other members of David Littleproud's party, weren't happy with that, it was a constructive dialogue and constructive outcome. And and you can actually empathise with the anger of some of these people. Not all of them are correct either. I mean, Chris Brooks knows that he's not the only spokesperson for everybody in the Riverina or his part of the world. And to the credit of the National Farmers Federation, our office had spent something like a fortnight just talking to different groups about what the actual problems were. And it was clear to us that it wasn't necessarily just the Murray-Darling Basin plan. It was it's a broader set of issues brought into sharp focus by the current drought.
But just to be clear about the levels of personal enmity that have been there, I mean, these were the people that were throwing an effigy of David Littleproud off a bridge in Tocumwal not that long ago at a protest. They're now sitting down in an office in Parliament House and coming out, it would seem, with the belief that somehow as a result of this process, they're going to end up with more water. How does that happen?
Well, nobody has promised more water. And I sat through the interview. There is no more water to give under the current rules. And that has been exhaustively examined by both the Commonwealth and the individuals involved, but there is water around, and so as Barnaby Joyce pointed out yesterday, and as Minister Littleproud pointed out during the meeting, there is water around, but there's no water that can be legally released to these people at the moment under the current legislation, and that's what this inquiry is about. I just released a report to the government last night on the Northern Basin review that I'd conducted over the last 12 months, and that should be tabled in Parliament today. The complexity around the rules and the complexity around the policies is so difficult for the ordinary person to work their way through. It's counterintuitive to actually get constructive outcomes. It needs to be simplified, and there needs to be single sources of fact that people can rely upon in order to establish their positions.
You've mentioned the interview with Barnaby Joyce yesterday. He argued that the Commonwealth should consider reallocating some of the water currently set aside for the environment. Let's just hear what he had to say on that.
It's perverse that in the middle of a drought, we have a flooding river. And so you'd have to say, well, why is that so? Well, it's the Commonwealth, the taxpayers' money going down the river. And I think the people of Australia as a whole would say, well, that doesn't stack up. We should be using some of that water for some of the towns along the river.
So there's the possibility of taking back for irrigation, essentially, some of the water that's set aside for the environment. But there's also, from what I'm hearing from you this morning, the possibility of looking at the interstate sharing agreements. But you have states like South Australia already saying, absolutely no way. So is there actually the room to manoeuvre that you seem to be describing?
Well, I think what the inquiry has to do is to clearly identify what the problem is. Is the problem the water sharing agreement between New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia that has resulted in rules being applied by, for example, New South Wales, where 100% allocation is given to high security license holders and no allocation has been given to general security license holders over the past 2 years, whereas Victoria and South Australia have held back water and not given total allocation to their farmers because they wanted to manage the water in times of drought. So the same body of water is being managed differently by different states, and that is what's infuriating the farmers. And that now includes, as Barnaby Joyce quite rightly points out, that includes the Commonwealth, who is holding water back for the environment, and that's under the agreement. Right at the moment, the Commonwealth is not legally entitled to release any of its holdings, and that is one of the reasons why we're holding this inquiry.
Do you think, unless we get this right, the whole system of managing water is not going to survive? I mean, there are states already threatening to pull out of the plan.
The thing that I take sucker from is the fact that there have been these threats in the past, but the last COAG meeting that was conducted in by the Prime Minister in as recent as August this year, all of the premiers involved in the Murray-Darling Basin states committed to the plan. I mean, without the plan, and this is where I think the language has changed somewhat. I think there's a larger number of people now who actually understand it's not the Murray-Darling Basin plan that's actually the sole problem here. It's a combination of policies, and it's a combination of policies that have been built over a large number of years. Now, whether they're still relevant today with climate change and with the drought conditions is something that this inquiry will look at. It's not a review, it's an inquiry, and it'll be conducted under the auspice of an inquiry to try and get to the bottom of what the real problem is.
That's Mick Kelty, Interim Inspector General of the Murray-Darling Basin Water Resources.